for our last session this morning, or before lunch at least, we're going to begin our Madhurya Kadambini course. This is a very interesting course. It's about a, 29-page book, it appears. Short book written by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And right now we're going to give out the first 10 pages, I believe. And we'll try and go through. Okay. Now, next thing is, just write down this list which we have written on the board here. Hope you can read my writing. Shraddha. So this is a list, 1 to 9, of the 9 stages in devotional service, beginning from number 1, Shraddha, faith, and then going stage by stage, culminating at number 9, prema, pure love of God. So if you're having any difficulty reading any of them, this is Shraddha, faith. Number 2 is Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees. Number 3, Bhajana Kriya, means a person actually takes up devotional service in a practical way. Number 4, Anartha Nivritti. Anartha Nivritti, removing the unwanted things from the heart. Number 5, Nishta. When all the unwanted things are removed, then one becomes steady in devotional service, fixed in devotional service. Then number 6, when one is fixed in devotional service, naturally one experiences a spiritual taste, being so absorbed on the transcendental platform, then naturally one experiences transcendental pleasure. So that's 6, ruchi, taste. Number 7, asakti, being so fixed in devotional service and getting so much taste of spiritual pleasure, one becomes very attached to being in devotional service. Number 8, when one is very deeply attached, and that attachment for Krishna and devotional service is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger and more all-consuming, then one begins to experience love of God. So that is bhava. Bhava basically means the beginning of love of God as such. And when one is absorbed in devotional service, in that mood, as one carries on more and more, then that beginnings of love of God gradually matures and becomes actual prema, Krishna prema, love of God. And Lord Chaitanya said, prema pumarto mahan. Pumarto mahan. That prema, love of Krishna, is the greatest goal in life. There's so many things which people may consider goals. They want to achieve certain things in their lives, but the mahan, prema, pumarto mahan, the greatest goal is love of God. So in other words, this is outlining the progress of a devotee in devotional service from the very, very beginning, Shraddha, faith, before the devotee has really taken up devotional service, actually. So from that very first point, right to the complete point. Of course, there's no final conclusion in a sense. There are even stages of love of God. There are stages beyond prema. But these are the main stages which we'll be concerned with, up to the level of prema, which is perfection. So the other stages just mean like perfect, more perfect, most perfect, just degrees of perfection. So this is the subject matter of this book, Madhurya Kadambini. Actually, this Madhurya Kadambini, it's by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. it is, it's his commentary on two verses, just two verses, written by Srila Rupa Goswami. They appear in the first part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, as Prabhupada presented it, towards the end there. So Srila Rupa Goswami has composed two verses in which he is outlining these stages, Ado Shada, Tata Saru, Sangota Bhajanakriya, Tato Narta Nivritisyat, Tato Nishta Ruchistata, Atasakistata Bhava, Tato Prema Vidanchati, Sadhikanaya Prema, Paru Bhava Vedkrama. So these are two verses by Rupa Goswami. Paru Bhava Vedkrama. Krama means step. Step by step. From the beginning of Ado Shraddha. Ado means first. First of all, faith. Then Sadhu Sangha, association. And in this way, our devotional service can develop step by step. So it means it's a science. Devotional service is a very progressive and coherent type of science. Step by step, and there are symptoms on every level, at every step. And if we understand what are the symptoms of the different stages, then we can understand what level we're on. And that, of course, is very important. If you don't understand what level you are on yourself, then you may assume that you're on another level and that you should do certain things. But they may not be relevant to you. Generally speaking, people would be more prone to think, if they didn't really know, they would perhaps be more prone to think that they're more advanced rather than that they're less advanced than they're actually. So therefore you get people like, with all due respect, the born-again Christians and others, who think they're extremely advanced. If you ask them, do you love God? They'll say, oh yes, oh I love him so much. In other words, I'm perfect. But actually, they may not have really developed so much Shraddha. In other words, you tell them about Krishna, and they may say, what, Krishna? This is no good, we're not interested in Krishna. Whereas a devotee of Krishna, who is actually not necessarily on the level of prema or even very advanced, but at least they're engaging in the process and they're trying, then they will have faith, meaning they'll also be able to recognize that, oh yes, there is something in Christianity, whatever it may be. It may not be that much, but there's something there. So we don't just write it off and throw it out the window. And even in Islam or whatever, Judaism, there's so many different processes we see around us. So a devotee can recognize that, oh yes, there is something there. It may not be as much as there is in Krishna consciousness, but there's something there. So this means faith is actually there. One devotee said a very nice thing about Srila Prabhupada, that after Prabhupada disappeared, that I'm sure that if I meet Prabhupada again, and obviously it won't be in that form as Srila Prabhupada is in the picture there, as we knew Prabhupada here. But he said that, I'm sure if I meet Prabhupada again, I'll recognize him. I'll know him. Even though he may appear in a totally different form altogether. So this is faith. Faith. From faith comes a type of perception. And therefore one is able to recognize whatever it is on the basis of that perception, which is developing from faith. So because the devotees do actually have faith, therefore they can see Krishna consciousness, even in small forms, in other practices and in other types of disciplines. So, this book then, Madhurya Kadambini, is a commentary just on two verses. So just imagine if you wrote a commentary on the entire Bhakti Rasamrita. It would be vast. But anyway, this is very important because we may recognize where we are at and what we need to do, which is extremely vital. It's essential if you're to actually make progress. Otherwise, you'll try to act in a way which you're not fit for, and this will just mess up your spiritual life. Or you'll take a wrong direction at some point, thinking that my next step is this, but it may not be. So it's very important. And also it'll help you to recognize the positions of other devotees, which is also important, at least to some extent. We don't want to get too much into like analyzing other devotees, but at least it's important to recognize who's senior or who's more advanced than you. Because if you can recognize such persons, then you'll be able to take their association nicely in the right way. It's important to recognize who's more or less on the same level as you, because then you can cultivate a certain type of relationship with that type of devotee, a friendly relationship. And also it's important to recognize who's junior to you, because then you'll know that I don't really need to listen so much. They may not be able to help me so much, but I can try and help them. These three categories of devotees we should be able to recognize in relation to ourselves. Who's more advanced, who's more or less on the same level, and who's more or less junior to us. And then relate with them in different ways, and this will help us. So in this regard, this book is very important. So, the very beginning, if you turn to page 1, there's a Mangalacharana. Mangalacharana basically means invocation or introduction, just as we noted with Tattvasandhava. So here you get a similar thing, somewhat similar. He begins, you'll see the first verse, actually it's a very beautiful verse. You'll have to forgive us for the printing here. Anyway, you can't really see what lines are what in the verse to actually chant the Sanskrit. But the translation is very beautiful. The mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an uncontrollable cloud bank of exquisitely sweet nectar. So that in itself is very beautiful. An uncontrollable cloud bank. Actually means like a monsoon cloud. Clouds rolling in, bringing a great storm, bringing a great inundation. So, this great cloud bank, uncontrollable cloud bank, of exquisitely sweet nectar. We chant Hare Krishna and we enjoy it, at least enough so that we carry on. Sometimes we may struggle a little bit, but some experience of pleasure is there, therefore we carry on. But here, Vishwas Chakravarti Thakur, the author, is saying that devotional service is exquisitely sweet, so we can look forward to that. As one advances, then one gets a nicer and nicer taste in devotional service, until it becomes just quite inconceivable by material standards. So this is what he's saying, that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is like this, and the sudden appearance of this cloud bank fully rejuvenates the grains of ninefold bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, these are the nine processes of devotional service in the field of the heart, and it extinguishes the burning summer heat of lust and bestows rapture to the universal river of living beings. From far off, even from far off, what to speak of when you're getting the inundation, even from far off, may those clouds of the Lord's mercy give satisfaction and pleasure even to this worthless soul, a dried up tree in the desert. So you can see that there's certain themes here which are very similar to the themes in those introductory 8 verses in Tattvasandhava. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, of course, he's a follower of the 6 sutras. So So then, what does he do next verse? He offers his obeisances to Rupa Goswami. Again, this is the same as what Jiva Goswami did. So now, what does he do now? He says, we will proceed on the basis of Shastra, Shabda Praman. This is, again, exactly following in the footsteps. Of course, in Tattvasandhava, Jiva Goswami is first of all establishing that this is what we should do. And then once he's done that, then he continues on that basis. But of course, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has already accepted that Shastra or Shabda is the praman, is the means by which we'll get knowledge. So we're going to proceed on that basis. And what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Krishna. Krishna is very nice. He's superior to Brahman. This is now about halfway down the first page. He's superior to Brahman. He is Brahma Pucham Pratishta. That means Brahman is established on him. He is Paramanandamaya Purusha, the supreme blissful person. Parat Paratatva. That means the supreme, supreme truth. Even more supreme than supreme. And he's also the embodiment of rasa, of nectar, or the transcendental ecstasy and transcendental mellows of devotional service. Rasa vaisa. He is directly rasa. He is rasa in person. Akila rasam rita sindhu, or murti. Akila rasam rita murti. He is the very murti of all rasa amrita, of all the nectar, of all the rasas. So he is the complete supreme personality of Godhead. And then this last verse, you see this verse down towards the bottom, malanam asaniya ninam, and so on. This is a verse from 10th Canto Srimad Bhagavatam, in which the fact that Krishna is the embodiment of all rasas. That means Shantadasya Vatsalya, Shantadasya Sakya Vatsalya, and Madhurya Ras, the five main rasas. Neutrality, servitude, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. And then the seven indirect rasas, like chivalry, compassion, dread, anyway, they're seven indirect rasas. So they all manifested in persons when Krishna walked into the wrestling arena of Kamsa, just before he killed Kamsa. And most of them are listed out here. The wrestlers saw him in a certain way. Ordinary people saw him in a certain way. Like that. So people saw him in these 12 different ways. And those 12 different ways are according to the five primary rasas, direct rasas, and the seven indirect rasas. So we're not going to go into the details of all that, but that's at least the idea. So now, what we've seen, we're discussing the process of devotional service, starting with Shraddha and culminating, so to speak, in prema, at least reaching perfection in prema. Where should we begin? We should begin with someone who is not a devotee, but then they become a devotee. In other words, someone who's not even in category number one. And in fact, this is what is discussed basically on page two. Actually, from the bottom of page one, and you can get out page two. You're not feeling sleepy, are you, anything? No? Yes? Anyway, what can we do? This is why we're walking up and down. Including me. So, okay. So let us just begin, though. Before we start about the person who's not a devotee, and who then becomes a devotee, and comes to level one, Shraddha, let us just talk about Krishna, and when we understand a little bit about Krishna, then we'll understand a little bit of what has to happen to a person if they're to come to Krishna. Because there's a saying that to enter fire, you have to become fire. We are not fire. So if we enter fire, we will be affected by that. We won't be able to easily enter fire very happily. So someone who is not a devotee means they are